This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Jeffrey Dahmer, Ted Bundy, the Night Stalker. These names are infamous, but do you really know what drove them to kill?
In Mind of a Serial Killer, we don't just tell you the story. We break down the psychology behind it.
Follow and listen to Mind of a Serial Killer, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, Brady's got to work on Thanksgiving, but then again, if he doesn't want to work Thanksgiving, he doesn't have to. The man doesn't have to work at all. So don't feel too bad for him. You're working because... you don't have to work. Not like you need the money. You can just retire. Okay. So this whole thing, I got to work Thanksgiving. Oh, shut up. Seriously. There are people out there who have to work Thanksgiving to make ends meet. Cry me a river, you know? All right. Anyway, so Bo, in the break, the Maven said that she's going to go to Kroger, right? She came up to the studio and says, I'm going to go to Kroger. I'm like, yeah, good luck with that.
Well, I'm having to do that, too, today.
Yeah, good luck with that. hopefully, told her, and I'll tell you, is you should pull out your phone and get your stopwatch out, and when you pull your card up to get in the line, hit start and see how long it takes you before you're bagged up and run, the card's going out the store. I guess over under is like a half an hour.
Oh, well, I hope not. Well,
yeah.
May have to try out that that online Kroger delivery.
Yeah, I did that a couple of times in COVID and went, yeah, I'm not doing this no more. You know, and just, I don't know. I don't get exactly what, because they mess up orders. I know they try and they do that, the Walmart and Kroger people, but, because they substitute. I don't want this. No, okay, I would have just passed. Okay, I'll just do my own thing. 404-726-0929, Paul is in Monroe, as we used to call it. And he joins John. Hey, Paul, happy Thanksgiving.
Hey, happy Thanksgiving. Man, I got to tell you, man, I miss you and Hugh in the morning. You able to talk to that man every now and then? Or?
Yeah, we shout at each other.
Yeah, we shout at each good. Other.
Well, Abby, you got to turn your radio down.
Yes, sir. Sorry. I've got a question for you. First, I've got to go into a little, not necessarily a rant, but a little discussion because it's, I've lived here for probably about 13, 14 years now, and I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan ever since they drafted Ed Reed out of college. And the fan base for Baltimore is very similar to the fan base here in Atlanta, and Atlanta's my number two team since I've been listening to y'all's radio show. And, you know, when you have a coach for a little while, you know, they become family, same thing with players. You know, Joe Flacco, he was part of family, just like Matt Ryan. And then, you know, with the change in quarterbacks and, you know, half the fan base loves it, half of them don't. You know, it's just very similar, and I feel the same way with both teams because a lot of them become family after a period of time, and I think both teams right now are in a very good spot. But my question is, why can the Ravens not beat the Steelers? Do we need a coach?
That's not a question. Not a question I can answer. I mean, I think best I know, Paul, is that this is like karma for stealing the team in the middle of the night and becoming the Browns East.
You're not wrong, but I like to think we took them and made them better.
Well, that you did. You won two Super Bowls, so there's that.
Appreciate you.
Thanks, Paul. Yeah. Yeah, they struggle with the Steelers, but a lot of teams struggle with the Steelers. Mike Tomlin's a great coach. I mean, Steelers are one of the – Ravens aren't there yet. Steelers are one of the five – there's like five legendary franchises, and Steelers are one of the five. And they have been the model of consistency over probably every other franchise, even the other powerhouses, the Niners, the Patriots, Packers, Cowboys. They have been the model of consistency, and there's just no denying that. Kevin's in Atlanta. He's on with John. Hey, Kevin, welcome to the show.
Hey, John. I'm just calling. You know, I don't know if you and I are looking at the same Atlanta Falcons over the last two games. They basically, the defense held the Saints. They gave the ball to the Saints, to the Falcons late. Cousins threw a fourth quarter interception. They held Pittsburgh down. You figure that they didn't score 6 points. The offense only scored 6 points. That was a bad team performance. I can't lay this at the hands of the defense. I think they've been basically holding teams around 20, 24 points a game. That's not bad. Over last year, they couldn't get off the field in third downs. They let Josh Dobbs beat them. They you know, Kyler Murray came in and off an injury and beat them. So it's not the defense as much because the offense is where the money's at. They should have outscored the Saints, and they should have basically outscored a couple more teams that they've lost to, especially the Seahawks. So I'm not sure if it's the defense. I think the problem's at is on offense.
Okay, I guess. Okay, a couple of things here. Money's not on offense. The money's on defense, Kevin. What are you talking about? Where did they spend their money?
On offense.
They spent it. All right, they spent it on Kirk Cousins. Where did every other penny go? To the defense, correct?
I can't say that.
Kevin. Every other penny went to the defense. Jesse Bates, Justin Simmons, Matthew Judon, it went to the defense, okay? David Onyemata, they went out and got defense after defense after defense. They drafted into the offense. They went into free agency in the defense. The only free agent they went out to and the offense it got was the quarterback. That's it. Outside of that, everything else is drafting, right? On the defense, they built the whole defense on free agency, okay? Pretty much almost the entire defense was built on free agency. They spent their money on defense. It is right now one of the statistically worst defenses in the NFL. You can make an argument that they are close to being the worst defense in the NFL. The offense, on the other hand, is top seven in total yards. Top seven in total yards. That offense won game after game after game for them. Won game after game after game for them this year. They won the offense.
The last two games, I think it's been the offense that hasn't gotten it done against the Saints, and the offense only brought 6 points. It could have been a shootout against Denver. I'm looking at a different game, and I'm thinking to myself, Kirk Cousins, you're worth a lot of money. You shouldn't throw fourth quarter interceptions against the Saints.
No, I'm not trying to say that. It's a total team effort. Yeah, Koo didn't make field goals, missed three of them, right? Against the Saints, if he makes one that's tied, he makes two, we win. So the special teams let us down in the Saints game. And yes, the offense was not good in Denver. But the offense is not a systemic problem. If you're looking at this team and thinking about moving forward into the playoffs, I'm not worried about the offense finding its groove again. Okay, I'm not. You've got plenty of weapons. You know, get right, whatever you were doing, you know, I agree that I hold it to a different standard. This defense, I have no confidence in this defense as being able to move forward with them. I think they're going to kill us. That's
and,
how I
and last year, the defense didn't get off the field on third downs, and we lost some awful games. The Carolina game, the defense held everything in check. The offense, all I'm saying is that it looks to me like you've got the, we're going to have a conversation with Kirk.
Right. We're not right talking about last playing. Year. We're not talking about last year. We're only talking about now. Don't worry about
right.
the past.
So but this defense is basically, Kurt's basically making it an 11-on-10 game because he can't move in a mobile league quarterback, dual threat quarterback league. And if you can't do that, you've got to come through, especially early in games when games are getting decided. Because I think if the offense did its job, you probably wouldn't be in a lot of. Most teams are going to give up between 20 and 25 points a game on defense because it's an offense-driven league. But I appreciate it.
Thanks, Kevin. Yep. No.
Yes, sir.
And this is why I say, no, and Kevin and I just disagree. And we disagree without being disagreeable. I just don't agree with them at all. The offense is fine. I had a bad game against Denver, but the offense is fine. This offense, I'm not worried about. This defense is terrible. I think Zach Robinson's kind of grown as an offensive coordinator over the course of time. Of course, they had a bad game against Pittsburgh to start the season. But I think we've seen really good things from Kirk Cousins. I have a lot of faith that Kirk Cousins in the offense is going to be able to move the ball. Okay, I do. I wasn't happy with the offensive production. I think they missed Charlie Warner quite a bit. I think they got away from the run game a little bit too much because they got behind this, eight ball here against Bo Nix and were forced to throw it. And Denver's got a great pass rush, and they walked right into Denver's long suit because they got behind in the game because the defense wasn't doing its job. So. It's a whole team effort. Again, the special teams let us down in New Orleans. Offense, you can argue, let us down on a couple of occasions. But the common thread of the 6-5 season has been, a defense that is among the worst in the NFL. And if not for Kirk, can you imagine, Bo Johnson, what is the Falcons' record if Desmond Ridder's the quarterback right now?
Oh, goodness.
Because I think they're 2-9.
Who would they have beat? I think they may be on the way to
maybe Carolina.
Completely defeated. Okay, I'll give you that one. Maybe Carolina.
Well, maybe
the same Carolina team
against
that took the Chiefs to the brink last week? I don't know, man.
I don't know. I mean, I'm just saying, maybe. I think they're 2-9 if Desmond Ridder's quarterback. You find one, you stumble, you blind squirrel your way into another win. So I think they're a 2-9 team with Desmond Ridder at quarterback. So, but again, we see things differently. That's fine. Kevin sees it one way. He wants to blame the offense. That's fine. There's enough blame to go around for everybody. And I expect coming out of the break here, I want to see the offense start to flow a little bit. But I think we've seen, an offense that has produced far more points, far more results. I mean, Kirk Cousins has been consistently in the top five passers in the NFL this year. We've seen a team that at one point a couple of weeks ago was the only team in the NFL to have 3 500-yard receivers on its team, and Pitts and Mooney and Drake, and no other team in the NFL, just the Falcons. They've got a 1-2 punch at running back. I think the offense has been fine. They didn't play well against Denver, but again, I guess they kind of got out of what they really want to do. But to me, it's just the defense. Portions of the Midday Show brought to you by Right From The Heart at rightfromtheheart.org. If you missed our conversation that we had earlier in the show, talking about offense and defense, don't take Kevin's word or my word for it. Let's ask Steve Barkowski. Bart's still really involved watching the team. So we talked a little history with him, and then we talked about this club. And Bart's got a little bit more of a positive spin on things, but I think you'll enjoy it. Our conversation with Steve Barkowski that I had earlier this morning next on the Midday Show with John Fricke today on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase.
Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Midday show on Sports Radio 92 on the game. John Fricke in for Andy and Randy. This portion of the Midday show brought to you by ManCaveStore.com. Up your Man Cave game this season at ManCaveStore.com. Falcons getting ready to face Justin Herbert, and then the following week, Minnesota Vikings, and that may be Daniel Jones, who's now a newly minted Skull brother. Vikings signed Daniel Jones this morning to play quarterback. We'll see how that kind of plays out for him. The quarterbacking situation of the Atlanta Falcons, of course, Kirk Cousins, we've seen a little bit touch of Michael Penix here, had a chance this morning to talk to one of the legendary quarterbacks, Steve Barkowski, and get his thoughts on the team. We'll have that in just a moment. A reminder that we will have coverage of the Falcons and Chargers beginning with the Wade Ford Tailgate Show Sunday at 9 with Joe Patrick and myself. All right, Nero, here's our conversation about some history and about the current team with legendary Falcons quarterback Steve Barkowski. Well, it's my pleasure to welcome into the program somebody that I grew up idolizing is probably a tough word, but he was certainly my favorite player, one of the legendary Ring of Honor members of the Atlanta Falcons, number one pick overall in the 1975 draft, which is the exact same time I came in as a Falcons fan, was with Steve Barkowski at quarterback. And I reached out to Bart this week, and he was kind enough to say he would join us and talk a little NFL football and catch up with Steve Barkowski. Hey, Bart.
Hey, John, you're too kind with that introduction. I appreciate that very much. Good to be with you.
Well, again, back to number one overall pick, 1975. Before we get into the Falcons this year, I would kind of like to go back just a little bit into your career here, 24,000-plus yards, back-to-back 30-touchdown seasons. I promise I won't dwell on the game in 1980 because I was on the sidelines for not far from you when Drew Pearson. Okay, I'm not going to talk about that. but I do want to talk a little bit about, you know, you basically grow up in California, you become a star at Cal, and then you get drafted by the Atlanta Falcons. I know Atlanta in 1975. You obviously do. Some people who are new to town don't know that Atlanta in 1975 was a different town. When you came to town, was it culture shock for you?
Well, it absolutely was. I came from a West Coast environment in college where, you know, there was rarely was there more than 30,000 people watching us play football on Saturday. Most of them were reading books and sunning rather than coming for the entertainment of the football game. So football, I found out, was something that was very special and very unique in the Southern culture. Of course, Atlanta was a great city. Loved Atlanta. I lived there for 41 years and, you know, did my growing up there, so to speak. I just love the city still. Still have a son that lives there, and we get back occasionally. Still a rabid Falcon fan for sure, but Atlanta is not what it used to be back in the day, as they used to say, and it was pretty special back in the day.
Yeah, you have to explain to people like what it was like before 285 was built.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
Yeah, and 400 going to Lake Lanier was a two-lane road.
Yeah, with cows and deer and, everything else, right? You played on some great teams, you know, when you were with the Falcons, Steve Barkowski with us. Bart, you played on some great teams. My favorite team, probably yours, was 1980, and I think you win that game against Dallas, you win the Super Bowl, not to bring up a bad memory. But, you played on some great teams with some great players, some of the greatest in Falcons history, and, of course, Coach Bennett. Do you have a particular moment from back in your time as quarterback at the Falcons that you go back and, boy, man, that was so much fun? Is there a moment or a period that you reflect on as the quarterback of the Falcons that you say, that's it?
Well, I think, John, we actually had a chance to become a premier franchise, after a couple disappointing losses to the Cowboys in playoffs in 78 and then again in 80. I think we had a chance to really turn the corner and become one of those franchises that everybody else points at and says, you know, this is how you do it. Unfortunately, Mr. Blank didn't own the team back then. Had he owned the team, I think he'd have had maybe several Lombardi trophies kind of stashed away in his office. You know, it just, we needed a player or two. And, you know, I did play with a lot of great players, man. I think of the times that I had with those guys in the locker room. And that's the thing that I reminisce about and think about the most, are the relationships that were created there. You know, you're closer than brothers during the season. I mean, you spend more time with your teammates than you really do with your family, unfortunately. But that's kind of the nature of the game. And I had some great, great teammates back then. Guys, you know, like Tommy Nobis and Jeff Van Note and Mike Ken and of course, William Andrews and Alfred Jenkins, Alfred Jackson, Wallace Francis. I could go on and on and on. And, you know, just a lot of really great football players. Greg Brazina, Tom Pridemore, Bob Glazebrook. I was blessed to be a part of that. Unfortunately, we, you know, as you mentioned, we didn't close the deal in 80. And that was the premier chance that we had to get it done, and we let Dallas sneak back in the ball game, and they hit a pass late, and we went home, and they went on and got beat by Philly, and we'd already handled Philadelphia, and I would have had a chance to play against my hero Jim Plunkett in the Super Bowl that year. That would have been pretty special.
Yeah, Steve Barkowski joining us. Yeah, in 1980, you ripped off like 8-9 wins in a row, and late in that season, we were all in town. I was covering the team, obviously, and talking to all you guys, and you were the best team in the NFL. You were peaking at the right time, sort of not unlike 2006.
Yeah.
We won't mention that. Hey, by the way, you know, I have a personal, Steve Barkowski, I have a personal affinity for Fulton County because I can still feel it, smell it for football, not just for the Braves, that's a separate thing, but for the Falcons as well. It still has a look, you know, and a feel and a smell to me from all my time down there that I loved. But do you go to Mercedes-Benz Stadium and go, man, could I have played here?
I think everybody who walks in there says, wow. That's probably the easiest and best way to describe it. It's pretty special. I'm a big fan of football outdoors, and I think, you know, that was kind of the way it was created to be played. But, I understand it's a game that the fans own now, and you got to make that game day experience something pretty special. And that's why all these new, you know, multi-million-dollar, sometimes billion-dollar stadiums, that's why they're going up around the league. So, yeah, it's a phenomenal difference between us playing on the infield of the old Braves, infield, for the first three or four games during the season as they wrapped up. And then, that put that sod down and, it was about halfway seated at that point, there were some slipping and sliding going around and some nasty, nasty burns from the getting hit on that infield and sliding and so on and so forth.
Steve Barkowski joining John Fricke on Sports Radio 90.10 The Game, talking a little bit of Falcons. We'll get into the Falcons in just a moment. But reflecting again back on your playing days, football hasn't really changed. I'm in my mid-60s, obviously, you're a little bit older than me, not much, but a little bit older. Football hasn't changed during our lifetime, Bart, all that much. It's still blocking, it's still tackling, it's still run the ball, stop the run. Yet at the same time, I'm kind of curious. It's the same game that you played at the NFL level, but as you watch the NFL today, is it also an entirely different game?
Yeah, I think absolutely is, John. I mean, it's the only thing I see that's really familiar is the 11-on-11. I mean, they haven't changed that. It's adaptability, I think. Back when I played during my career, I mean, if you couldn't run the ball and stop the run, on defense, run the ball on offense and stop the run on defense, or slow it down, you couldn't win in the National Football League. And then all of a sudden, these guys, it just flipped. If you can't throw it and throw it all over the yard, and if you can't slow down the passing game from a defensive perspective, you just can't be successful. It went from, 3,000 yards in a season, being sort of, the pinnacle that everybody wanted to kind of reach. And back in my day, and now it's 5,000. You don't throw five for 5,000 you're nobody, you know, at the end of the day. And it's just that part of it's really changed. The guys are bigger, stronger, faster. You know, I've always said it's the most competitive job in the Western Hemisphere, and I stick to those guns. I think it's one of the hardest things to do is make a NFL roster. And, you know, kudos to the guys that get out there and get it done. And, you know, one other thing that's changed is the amount of money these guys are putting in their pocket, you know, from a game check standpoint. So you know, there's a few changes, you know, but it's still football, and it's something that I think everybody loves. You know, it seems to be still the number one sport, the king of all sports, if you will. And you know, I'm just happy to see the Falcons pointed in the right direction. I like what Raheem's doing. I love Arthur Blank. You know, he and I are good friends, and man, I just wish he would have had a chance to own that team while I was playing.
All right, so you said you're bringing up Art. Let's talk a little bit about that. Steve Bartkowski's thoughts about this year's Atlanta Falcons team. We just saw them go to Denver and just, I don't know what that was, Steve. It's been a source of a lot of anger and consternation because that team didn't show up in Denver, and we don't know what the last six games are going to hold here. And, you know, Falcons fans have been burned a lot, and so we hold our breath here about the last six games this year. Well, what do you kind of view this team with Kirk Cousins as right now, and where do you think they're headed?
Well, I mean, they're on top of their division. That's really all that matters at the end of the day, is get into that second season, you know, and if you can get in there with a bye, or if you can get in there with the home field advantage, you know, that's kind of what you're playing for now. I mean, you can ask for anything more, I don't think, you know, from a Falcon fan standpoint, than to just have the guys, you know, in the hunt. And, I mean, they are clearly in the hunt. You know, it's been a long time since we've had sort of a critical football game in the city of Atlanta, which I think we have over these next couple weeks. Well, certainly this week against the Chargers, and then, you know, got to go to Minnesota. But, I mean, this is the pivotal point in the season for the guys. I think they all know it. I think the bye week couldn't have come at a better time. Sometimes in the NFL, it just doesn't work. You know, you get out there, it doesn't matter how good your team is. And, you know, it's just the parity is such that, you know, you better bring your A game. If you don't, you're going to get your butt whooped. That's just kind of the way the game is these days, and always has been, really. So, I just think it's exciting to have our team in the hunt. You know, looks like they're pointing in the right direction. I think Kirk is taking care of the football. He's done a great job so far. And you know, I just expect them to go ahead and try to, you know, get in this hunt and close the deal. And that's what I'm looking forward to.
You mentioned, you know, back in your day, you know, some of the great players you played with, you know, on defense, you know, and you can go through the list, obviously. You know, the great linebackers, Brezina, Fulton, Cotton-Ganal, and all the great defensive tackles and whatnot. The great DBs. This team has talent on defense, Bart. They do. They have talent at every level. And yet, for whatever reason, it's not – the big criticism here is that Jimmy Lake, the new defensive coordinator, is not using this personnel correctly and playing a 3-4 in a soft zone. Do you see this? I mean, with a lot of people in Atlanta calling me up on my show, and they will today, saying press coverage blitz. Because this is the great splits. A lot of old-timers haven't forgotten that, right?
Right. Well, I think that's absolutely true. You know, the thing about it is, John, there's only a couple ways to really defend, you know, against the pass. You either got to go get the quarterback and get in his face and stay in his face, and you got to have the personnel to do that with, or you got to have two lockdown corners. And actually, three. The guy in the slot now, everybody's playing three wides, and they better be the best man-to-man cover guys. You need Michael Haynes and you need Lester Hayes back there, you know. And if you can't go get the quarterback and move him around and get him off his spot back there and make him make plays with his feet, which a lot of these quarterbacks can do these days. But, you know, it's the only two ways you can really come up with a way to shut the passing game down. We haven't been able to get to the quarterback. And, you know, I don't know that we've got, you know, Lester Hayes and Michael Haynes out there. You know, I mean, I think AJ is a great corner, you know, but I think that he always kind of, you know, that you just don't have that matching other side, if you will. So I don't know how you play. If I was Jimmy Lake, I wouldn't know what to do either. You know, I mean, you're darned if you do and you're darned if you don't. And at the end of the day, the guys have to make plays. You know, they just have to – you have to figure out a way to beat that guy, get to the quarterback, move him off his spot, or just lock down in such a way that, you know, guys come up with plays, you know. And that's the way you go about it. You know, some weeks it works and some weeks it don't work, you know. And I know they've been banged up too defensively, you know, so I don't want to, you know, be too critical. I mean, they got a lot of guys that haven't played a bunch that are out there playing now, you know. And hopefully this bye week we kind of get our legs back under us and get some of these guys that have been nicked up and playing through it, you know, maybe with a kind of a fresh restart. And go strong here for these next six games.
All right, another minute or so with Steve Barkowski, Falcons legend, who's been kind enough to join me on 92.9 The Game today. You got close, Bart. Michael Vick got close. Chris Chandler got close. Matt Ryan got super-duper close. We all know that. Yeah. As Falcons fans, do you see Raheem Morris and Kirk Cousins swinging into Michael Penix as a period of time where the Falcons might actually, under Arthur Blank, be able to finally have a parade?
Well, I'll tell you, John, knowing Arthur like I do, I know he's not going to rest until he hoists that Lombardi trophy. And that's where it all starts. I believe in what the decisions they're making. I think Raheem has done a really good job of putting this football team together. You know, it doesn't happen overnight, unfortunately. You know, I mean, I look at the Detroit Lions, you know, and to see how they've really risen from the dust and now are one of the premier franchises and premier football teams in the National Football League. And I sort of see a pattern there. You know, they've sort of built it around, you know, the coach being a guy who has been around it for a long time, played for a long time, and kind of understands the workaday mentality and getting out there and getting it done. So I'm encouraged. I think we're on the right track. I think if it doesn't happen this year, I don't see any reason why it couldn't happen in the near future.
Steve Barkowski, one of the true legends, Ring of Honor. And I'd love to have him on more often because I think he has a lot of insight and a lot of good things to say. Taking you to coverage tonight here on 92.9 The Game of the Hawks and the Cavaliers, first of back-to-back games, well, Wednesday and Friday. This one tonight in Cleveland. Our coverage starts at 6:30 tonight with the pregame show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game midday show. Top of the hour at 2:00. Carl Dukes, Abe Gordon live from Flowery Branch. Wednesday of work week here. There's no Thanksgiving time down really for the Atlanta Falcons as they get ready to host the LA Chargers. Jim Harbaugh, Justin Herbert company coming in, Ladd McConkey and all those guys on Sunday at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. I do want to just begin to tell you that if you're going out at the stadium, I know it's a beautiful day out to just do check the weather forecast, because by the time Joe and I get out there on Sunday morning at 9 a.m., it's supposed to be mid-20s. So luckily, if you're going to the game, you'll be inside, but it's going to be a bit chilly, at least early in the morning on Sunday here. This portion of the Midday Show brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Up your Man Cave game this season at mancavestore.com. Now, Bo Johnson, you were texting me yesterday. You got a new Blackstone, right?
I did. Bought myself a housewarming present.
Well, congrats on the new house. Congrats on the new Blackstone. Yeah, love my Blackstone. You said you were going to be doing Thanksgiving dinner on your Blackstone?
I am. So, well, look, it's just going to be Tara and myself. So it's only two of us. My family's in Louisiana. Her family's got stuff going on. So we're going to celebrate our first Thanksgiving in our new house. So instead of throwing down turkey and stuffings, I'm going to go get some fillets and lobster tails and throw them on the Blackstone.
Okay. No, but by the way, that's absolutely legit, because if you look and go Google the history of Thanksgiving, the very first Thanksgiving, I don't know, 400 some odd years ago, I don't think they had any turkey. They had like shellfish, because that's what they had. So I think they had lobster at the first Thanksgiving. So it's legit. I'm not not going to argue. I mean, so I don't think you're doing anything wrong. I think some people, what, that's not Thanksgiving. I'm like, well, it kind of sort of is.
Yeah, we had a caller last week. It was actually Mo, if he's still listening in Columbus. His girlfriend had, or his girl's wife had the suggestion of doing a low country boil for Thanksgiving. Everybody was turned off by this but me. Like, I think that would be a fantastic idea. Like, you don't necessarily have to stick with tradition. I think, you know, just get together with family and eat something.
Well, I agree because, you know, I grew up with, you know, Easter dinner, you had ham and, you know, deviled eggs and, you know, you had that traditional Easter dinner. And then Thanksgiving, you had turkey and stuffing and gravy and mashed potatoes, which we still do. And then for me at Christmas, some people would do the turkey again at Christmas. My family did the English Christmas, and it was roast beef and Yorkshire pudding, and yeah, that's how we did it. When the Maven and I got together, we decided that we were going to do something different on Christmas. So our traditional Christmas dinner about 20 years ago became king crab legs or she makes this incredible crab cakes, which are stuffed with crab and not so much, you know, they're not stuffed with stuff, you know, the panko. It's really just, can we kind of piece some crab meat together into a block and put some holidays on it? That's what we have for Christmas every year. It's one of our Christmas presents to ourselves. And we only have it once a year, and we have it on Christmas Day. So I have no problem with non-traditional stuff here. So I don't know. I don't know if you're running up. I saw that, and I went, yeah, I'm good with the idea of fillets and lobster tail. I think it's great.
I'm just hoping there's something left, because after you you spooked me a little bit with the Kroger talk, because I guess this is probably one of their busiest days of the year.
I think there'll be lobster tails left. I think
yeah, there should be.
You know, we go out and we get a little, you know, small itty-bitty turkey breast, but we do the traditional one for Thanksgiving, which is fine. I mean, everybody does everything a little bit differently, you know. I mean, you know, I'm one of these people that, you know, I always find these, you know, people have these conversations about, you can't have, you know, you can do whatever you want. You want to have collards on Thanksgiving? Knock yourself out. Turkey and collards go together. You know, some people are like, I'm not having green bean casserole. I happen to love green bean casserole. I'm that guy. The only dish I can't stand at Thanksgiving was that, like, my grandmother's, you know, the Jell-O fluff stuff, which people love.
Was that, you know, that, like, Jell-O salad? Is that what that's called?
Yeah, that Jell-O salad,
like,
thing.
Suspended with, in know, the middle of it, like pieces of fruit.
Yeah,
and
I'm passing. You know, I mean, that's fine. I mean, people love it. It's okay. You love what you love. We can disagree without being disagreeable. More for you. That's okay. You know, I'll take the green bean casserole. You take that stuff. That's good. I mean, it's all great. We all like what we like. People are like, oh, I can't believe you eat that crap. Okay, well, I like it. If you don't, that's fine. I mean, we're not all going to the same restaurants for the same things, okay? I love certain cuisines that you probably wouldn't even touch. I love Vietnamese. Love it. Love it, love it, love it, love it, love it. You know, but some people would say, I'm not buying anything called pho. I'm like, okay, you do you. You know, so I have no problem with you. You're going to love your Blackstone, too. Take care of it, you know. You treat it right. Watch all the videos about how to treat it right and clean it. And, dude, you can do so much with that flat top. It's really fun.
You can cook every phase of meals throughout the day on a griddle. So, yeah, I worked for Outback for 19 years, so I'm used to cooking on a griddle or a flat top, as we called it. But, I was super excited to get this thing.
Yeah, it took me a little while to kind of get fried rice down, and it took me a little while to try get breakfast down, because breakfast cooks at different speeds and stuff like that, you know, with eggs and meats and hash browns. But once I understood the kind of the batting order of how to go about it, because the eggs cook so much faster on a Blackstone, you get your meat, shove it over here, you get your potatoes, now you push those over there, and then now you just crack the eggs out, and because they're ready in like 90 seconds. About a minute and you're done, you're good. And so it's really a fun way. I love the Blackstone. I love what you're doing. I think you're going to have a great night and a great Blackstone. And enjoy it. You season it right. You know, get it all ready. You know, just make sure you season it before you use it.
I'm headed home to do that after we finish up here. Well, I guess I'm going to go weave my way through the grocery store first, but yeah.
Right. Yeah, you know, hopefully self-checkout isn't going to be killing you. I got into, yesterday I went over to the Kroger to pick something up, and I got in there, I was like, oh my God. It was like 12 lanes of carts, you know, people with double carts. I'm like, you could have pre-planned this a little bit, folks, you know? I mean, if you're going to get the turkeys, could you have gotten them like last week or something? I don't know. I mean, but, and then, of course, you know, everybody's got to do last-minute shopping, so. But I shouldn't speak because I'm like the worst Christmas shopper ever, and being such a late Thanksgiving with Black Friday coming up on the 29th, I'm like sitting here, I started to go into like a mortal panic. I went, oh my God, the Christmas shopping I got to do, you know? And so, and I don't Amazon. I probably have to. I've never done it before because I don't like it. I know you get good deals, but I like to go shopping for Christmas.
I kind of miss the Black Friday thing.
You mean like the people beating people up Black Friday thing?
Well, not necessarily the fights, but see, you let the people get in fights in one corner, then you just go around them. And shop for, you know, I'm not after Cabbage Patch Kids or anything, you know, I'm after electronics.
I know, but one year my first wife, God rest her soul, had this idea when my daughter was really young that I had to go on Black Friday and find this toy called a Tickle Me Elmo. My daughter was probably two at the time, three at the most. And I was like going to Toys R Us is all over the entire world, like four of them to find this thing. Finally found one. And, you know. Then that was no fun. So I don't miss that part of it. But aside from that, so we got the, this will be the last time I chat with you. We got the Chargers game coming up on Sunday. Kind of give me your thoughts here, because I'd like to be interested to see what you have to say ahead of what Carl and Abe have for us at Flowery Branch. What do you think we're going to see coming out of the bye week? Are we going to see a team that's kind of figured it out and is renewed, or are we going to see a team that's sort of like damaged by what happened in Denver?
Well, they're a little bit lacking on their pass catchers. Of course, Ladd's going to get his, and I think that's got to be on Quentin Johnston. You know, you got to get to Justin Herbert, and he will run. You just got to contain him. You know, make them have to run the football. They're a little bit beat up there. J.K. Dobbins probably not going to play. It's going to be Gus Edwards. So make them have to run the ball. Don't let Justin Herbert beat you through the air. You know, get to the quarterback. Figure something out. Hopefully they figured something out in the last 10 days, you know.
Yeah, I know. That's kind of what I'm waiting on, because I want them to be much more aggressive on defense. I want them to play single high safety. I want them to do press coverage, shoot linebackers. I want to see Caden Ellis. I want to see them. To take your shot. If you get burned, fine.
And this is a team you can do that against, though.
Soft. Right, I know.
You can send some linebackers against this team.
You know, stunt, you know, blitz. All, you know, that's what I was talking to Barkowski about. You know, I mean, I want to see them be far more aggressive on defense. You know, and I'll take my chances. Try and get off the field on third down and force a few punts. Do stuff like that. All right, Carl and Abe live at Flowery Branch, top of the hour here, as we count down to all the big weekend. Boy, what a weekend of football it's going to be between the colleges and the NFL, huh? Enjoy your Thanksgiving. I'll be back 10 to noon tomorrow to lead you to the NFL triple header. My thanks to Bo Johnson and all of you who have called in on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.